No time to waste on lichens. She glowered back up at Jask. Feet braced apart, hands low on his lithe hips, she had no doubt his stature was imposing enough when stood eye to eye with him. The last thing she needed was her forced submissive position on the floor exacerbating it. It wasn't helped by the fact she knew more about the uncomfortably good-looking lichen than just his zero-tolerance leadership. He was bad-tempered, temperamental, and fiercely protective of his pack. And, though it was irrelevant, it slipped into her mind anyway, rumoured to be proficient in bed. He was certainly well-equipped enough to live up to his reputation, his jeans temptingly fitting those solid thighs, his biceps distractingly taut through his shirt, those rolled-up sleeves exposing well-toned forearms. She lingered over the brown leather straps wrapped around his wrists, matching the ones around his neck, a small platinum pendant nestled in the hollow of his throat. She glanced at the other lichen beside him. Corbin Salen, Jask's second in command, with a reputation as equally uncompromising. He had a presence all of his own, stood there, arms folded, his grey eyes locked on hers. But then, when you were one of the minority third species in Blackthorn, you had to have a reputation to survive.
"Get in here and tell me what happened," Jask demanded, summoning the two lichens from beyond the doorway.
The one she knew to be Roan entered first. On appearance, they had to be 20 years younger than Jask, but it was as impossible to tell with lichens as it was with vampires. Roan and his comrade Samson had deliberated over what to do with her for the best part of an hour after gate-crashing the vampire feast gone wrong. They'd paced the room, arguing over whether to just leave her there. Despite having tried to barter with them, she'd seen their faces, and that was finally enough for them to relent into calling for backup. Backup being Corbin, and from what she'd picked up from overhearing their panicked phone call, and despite their protests, Corbin deciding to inform Jask.
"We were across at the warehouse," Roan stated. "We heard the noise she was creating, so came out to look. She was putting up a hell of a fight."
"And then?" Jask asked.
"We saw them bring her down here."
"And knowing you never interfere in vampire business, you walked away," Jask added, the disapproval emanating in his eyes.
"We were going to," Samson said. "But it was 2-on-1, Roan interjected. "They were getting violent with her."
Jask looked back at Sophia, but she knew he wasn't looking at her. He was examining the evidence of the cuts and grazes on her face.
"The vampires do their thing, we do ours," he said, looking back at Roan and Samson.
Sophia raised her eyebrows at the indifference in his words. Seemingly his reputation as a heartless bastard was equally justified.
"That's the only way the segregation works, and you know it," he added. "We have enough to do in protecting our own, without trying to save every helpless victim in this district."
She nearly protested at the victim remark, but resolved to keep her mouth shut. All that mattered was getting loose.
"We thought she was just a girl," Roan explained. "What did she do to them? I've never seen vampires go down that fast. It was all over within minutes."
"Just be grateful your discovery is sufficient enough to save me ripping into you right now. What were you doing on this side of the district?"
The two youths glanced nervously at each other.
"We had a deal going," Roan declared, instantly dropping his gaze to the floor in response to Jask's thunderous glare.
"A deal? With vampires?" he asked, distaste exuding from his tone.
After a moment's hesitation, Roan gave a single nod. Jask exhaled with exasperation.
"So there's someone who knew you were here."
"What if they think this was something to do with us?"
Samson asked, echoing the line of thought but had no doubt provoked Jask's further irritation with them. He took two steps towards them.
"This is why you don't come here. This is why you stay in Northern Territory. This is why we're going to clear up this mess and get you back to the compound so I can deal with you properly."
He removed something from his back pocket, flicked open a switchblade that glinted in the candlelight as he turned to face her. Sophia braced herself as he expertly sliced through the ropes that bound her arms to the wall. She barely had time.